Welcome to the Realistic Healthy Living Podcast, where I share with you information that may help and support you as you work towards your own goals. This podcast can help you find a more realistic and practical approach to tackling common dietary challenges. I will be sharing some intimate interviews as well as my own insights to shed light on important nutritional and well-being topics. I'm Shani, your host and a certified nutrition consultant. I work with people seeking to look and feel better, providing them with realistic, safe, and doable solutions so they can reach their nutritional goals without giving up their favorite foods. Ready? So let's begin. Today, my guest is Stacy, who joined a fitness competition when she was in her late 30s and as a mother to a very young child. Stacy shares with us parts of her personal experience as a competitor and provides some valuable tips. Whether you are considering joining such a competition or simply intrigued by this fascinating world, this episode is a treat. As this podcast is about realistic healthy living, even if a fitness competition is not down your alley, I highly recommend listening to it as there are some great insights about the overall thought process, nutrition, and mindset. After our chat, I will share some of my thoughts about the subject, so please have listened and I'll see you on the other side. Hello, Stacy. Thank you so much for joining me today on this Realistic Healthy Living podcast. I'm super excited to have you here.
Very exciting. I love what you're doing.
Thank you so much. So we are going to chat today because at some point in your life, you have decided to join a fitness competition. I have very little to none knowledge about fitness competitions. And so I would like you to tell us, first of all, maybe how you were introduced to it, when, anything you're willing to share.
Yeah, I think that it's funny. I didn't have a lot of knowledge of what a fitness competition was. I think for a really long time, was quite fascinated by them. For the longest time, I thought, well, that would be pretty amazing to be able to do something like that. But I thought it was really for people who are just naturally super fit, spent a ton of time in the gym, ate beautifully, and were kind of these like gym people. I just did totally label gym people, but that's what I thought it was. I had my daughter in 2012, and while I was on mat leave, this acquaintance friend of mine I heard was going to be in this fitness competition. I'm like, what? She's a normal human being with like pretty normal body. And I'm like, what? She's amazing. So it was through an organization called WBFF, which is one of the federations. There's a few of them that you can sign up and do these competitions. So I took the train downtown and it was at Arts Commons. And I sat there and I saw this woman who I knew before and hadn't seen since she was training, come out onto the stage fully transformed. She looked amazing. Her confidence, everything. It was just, I was like, this is a normal woman doing this. And I was like, huh, maybe I can do this. Did nothing about it right away. And then in 2014, I decided to get in touch with the trainer that had trained this woman. And I kind of knew of her through other avenues as well. She's lovely, a human being. She's won a bunch of titles herself. So I just went to meet with her and I was 38, it's 2014. I just said to her, I just want to talk to you about this and see what's involved. And I'd like to do it maybe before I'm 40. This was in early April or middle of April. And she's like, no, we're just going to sign you up and we're going to do it now. And I was like, oh, okay. So I have this daughter who's two. I'm working full time at a radio station. And I'm like, oh, okay. These competitions are not inexpensive. So I was a little concerned about that. This woman was amazing. And she's like, I'm going to lend you a bikini or the suit. Anyway, she brings the suit out. I'm like, there is no way that I'm going to put my body in that suit. Like, there's no way. However, she said, yeah, we'll do it. So just to give you some perspective on timing, it was 11 and a half weeks until I was supposed to be stepping on stage. It's a very short period of time. I was 132 pounds at that time, which is now like a goal weight for me. my body fat percentage, because it's a thing if you're going to do these, I think I was at 22 or 23%, which isn't horrible for females. And then it was on. So she guided me through, and it was probably the hardest thing, I guess, that I've done as far as being quite disciplined to stick to this plan that changed weekly for me. So it was between food. Food was massive, and then the workouts, and everything changed every week.
So what was the tipping point for you to kind of like look at that bikini, look at that time frame, look at that lady and say, oh my God, I'm going to do it? What was that drive?
It's funny. I think we all kind of struggle sometimes with our self-esteem and self-confidence. And so there was part of me that's like sitting in this woman's house, and do I need to commit to this? And oh my gosh, this is crazy. And then for a second, I just managed to somehow put myself first and say, you've wanted to do this. She knows what she's doing. Do your part and you can get it done. The other beautiful factor is there's a couple of people that were like, you think you're really going to do this? You're going to finish it? Because sometimes I haven't finished things that I've said I'm going to. That's real motivation when somebody tells you that they don't think you're going to do it. So I'm like, well, now I have to do it. So there was like 50-50 there, admittedly. That I'm like, yeah, I got to get it done. I'm going to do it.
Wow. That's amazing. When you decided to join, other than that competitive expression of things, what else made you join? Like, did you see something at the end? Was it the process? What was it?
I think it was the goal for sure of being able to say I could do it. There was some vanity in there for sure. I thought I'm going to look like these women and have these muscles and then like, yeah, for sure. I wanted to look like a fitness competitor, 100%. I didn't realize at all the scope of what I was going to go through to make that transformation. So I had this goal to lose some weight and be fit and all the things. I had no idea what was involved in that at that moment. And I had no desire to do well in the competition. I had zero desire to place. That might be a lie. Maybe there was part of me that was like, that'd be really cool. But it wasn't part of my intention or goal. I just wanted to be able to get on that stage, say I did it, fit this body into this tiny little piece of cloth and say, I did it. I did it. I wanted to be able to look back on that and show my daughter, like, mama was almost 40 and look at what you can do if you put your mind to it and have some support. So yeah, that was it. There was part of me that wonders if I had lost my mind actually. Like, wow, I still can't believe that happened in a lot of ways, but it did.
I love that. Thanks. So what does it take? What does it take to be a fitness competitor?
I think a little bit of insanity. And I say that I'm joking, but I'm not, because it's a thing. And you have to, in a lot of ways, I think, depending on what your life is like, you really have to prioritize your existence at this point. And there wasn't a lot of time for anything outside of parenting, going to work, working out, making food, and eating. That's all I had time for 11 and a half weeks. So you are prepping food. People are like, oh, you must have been starving. And I'm like, no, because you're eating six times a day. At least in the beginning, I was pretty hungry at the end, but in the beginning, you're not. So it is this great process where like you're adjusting and using food to fuel your body in such a way that you will gain muscle mass while also losing fat, which is pretty hard to do, both of those things at the same time. So there is a real science behind it. I think the first 2 weeks of the program, I didn't take it 100% seriously. I went up for dinner with my friends one night, and Edie was my trainer's name. And I'm like, it's okay, right? I went out for dinner and I said, I got salmon. And she's like, no, it's not okay, because you don't know what they're prepping the food with. There's probably salt. And I was like, off salt, because bloats you and all of the things. So No, I would cook on Sundays and Wednesdays. My husband was pretty supportive with the food and helped out with the cooking. And so it was a lot of chicken with nothing on it. It was a lot of sweet potatoes, broccoli, all of those lovely things. And then the workouts. And those, it was every day. It was every day, different muscle groups, heavy weights. I was doing 2-a-days. I would go to work. I would do my cardio at lunch and then go home and do weights at night. I was eating, I was bringing like Tupperware to work because you're eating and trying to like follow this to the letter. Like it's exhausting to think of it today. I'm like, meh. but it was amazing. I think every Monday I would send her my weight. And then once a week I would go and see her and she would do the good old calipers to see what the fat was doing and measure muscle and all of the things. And then you had to work on walking in 5-inch heels.
That would scare me.
Scared me to this day. I'm like, I can't believe I didn't face plant. I would wear them around my house, like, like trying to teeter in these silly shoes. But it was really something. And I think once that first week or two had passed, the changes that occur on you are dramatic and they're quick because of the science behind what you're putting in your body and the work that you're doing physically. It's super motivating at that point. You're like, oh, this is happening. It was like a real experiment for me to see what my body was going to do and what my brain was going to do as well, for sure.
Do you have breaking points throughout it? And what are they? When do they happen? And how do you solve them?
This is why for me, I don't think it was like it wouldn't have been anything I could have maintained as a lifestyle. There's people that do these all the time. And it's smart, I guess, if you get in that state of shape and you want to go and do another one, then you might as well because you're in it. I didn't enjoy going out. A friend of mine turned 40 that June. The competition was the first weekend of July. So in June, I go to this woman's house. And to be like full disclosure, I looked fantastic. I had this great dress. And I'm like, you can see muscles and bleh. But I couldn't eat any of the food that was there. I couldn't have anything to drink. I was zero alcohol on this, which is not a bad thing. But in my case, I always like, you know, I like wine. So I found, I didn't find joy in being very social at that point. So that was a breaking point. I think for me, because it was a goal, it wasn't like a lifestyle change for me. I had a really hard time. So I think after that, like I didn't do a lot. I would go and visit somebody and have like black coffee or like an herbal tea, but there wasn't a lot of events that would happen. And then through that time, about, was it a week before the competition, I got laid off from my job. So
great timing.
That was huge. When you'd like a pizza and a bottle of wine, but couldn't do it. And what I did do though, was my daughter again, being 2, we had animal crackers in the house, which to this day I still love. And for whatever reason, I just sat down one night and ate like quite a few of those and a bunch of raisins, and which doesn't sound that bad, but it was. And my trainer was like, okay, well, we'll figure this out. She goes, but why didn't you have like cookies and ice cream or something? Why'd you have animal crackers and raisins? I'm like, I don't know. So yeah, a couple of breaking points for sure. But I was so far in it at that point. I'm like, I got to finish. And you also, there's that thing that comes into play again, where it's like something bad happened and I could have let it ruin this. And I would have really regretted it if I had just kind of fallen into my sadness and anger about losing my job and not carrying on. So that was a lesson that will stick for sure, that crap's going to happen. And I think it's okay to slip, but get back up and carry on for sure.
Amazing. Like I'm listening to you and, you know, you start thinking, I know when there's something that has a time limit to it, and then there is commitment and maybe financial commitment to and commitment to yourself. Do those factors kind of like interchange as you go, or you have the accountability to your trainer? Like what keeps you, because there's so much chicken, someone can eat chicken and broccoli, at least in my head.
Yeah.
And at some point you're like, what have I done? And in that exact moment, what's that little button that you push in order to kind of like overcome that hurdle?
I think all of those things, to be honest with you, at different stages, it was a significant investment financially. So there was that, again, the thought of getting so far and then bailing, and whether this is right or not, worrying what other people were going to think of me and I'd failed, and all of those messages come into your head, which are not, it's not okay, but it was a factor for sure. And then I was just really, I'm like, you wanted to do this and you've come this far, and the changes that you witness and see in your body are really amazing. Your bodies are incredible. And to see those, it was still really motivating for me. I'm like, I want to see this through. I want to see what I can do and get on that stage. I've told a million people I'm doing this. I've committed this money. This beautiful trainer has helped me and is like by my side. We had some moments for sure. There's tears, there's cheering, there's all the things. She's a friend to this day. Yeah. So it was just a package of different things that would kind of keep you going, and not one of those things alone in one moment. It was kind of everything and a lot of self pep talks to keep on going. And it was super emotional. I remember the very last workout I had to do was legs. To this day, I can't stand doing legs. And when I finished, I sat down on the floor in my basement and I cried. I'm like, you did it. You finished your last workout. It was 2 days before. You don't work out for 2 days prior to, because you're barely eating anything also at that point. But I'm like, you did it. You've made it this far. Now all you have to do is like take the weird things that you're dandelion tea and, you know, all this strange stuff to dehydrate. And it was crazy. It was crazy. I don't think it's the healthiest thing for everybody to do. I don't know. I'm not qualified to make that judgment, I guess. But yeah, I think it's really hard on your body as well. So the first probably 4 weeks, I think, are lovely. And if I could just eat like that all the time, it'd be dreamy. Because you're eating, it's healthy, it's clean, it's all the things. But I think your body's going to work pretty hard.
If we can kind of like dive a little bit into the support system, mm-hmm. What part does the support system play a role in your process, and both at home or friends and from the community that actually competes and does the same thing?
It's huge. I can't imagine, again, being in the position I was in with this child and working, and I was really grateful. My husband, Corey, was able to, he's the cook in the house anyways. I don't love cooking. He did a lot of cooking and prep with me. So that was super helpful. I think that's imperative. If anybody listening is thinking about doing this, or if you do not live by yourself, you need to try your best anyways to get whoever is there with you on board with what you're doing to either help out and or do their best to encourage and take away some of those temptations that we don't need around us at that time. I think that's really important. Finding a really good trainer, I think, is paramount. Somebody that really knows how to do this naturally and through food and some supplements and workouts, and not place so much emphasis on winning. I guess it depends on the competitor's goals also at that time, but somebody that you can sit in and talk to and feel comfortable, because it's an emotional experience for sure. It's tough. And so I think that that's really crucial too. What was interesting is once I had joined, there was a Facebook group of a lot of people that were competing. So I got on there, and you get all types. so there's some that maybe are just pretty full of themselves and things going on in their world. But there was some really great people, a lady that I'm still Facebook friends anyways today. She was up in Northern Alberta, and we keep in touch, and how's it going? And she's like, I just really want an Oreo. And she's like, I had one and I shouldn't have. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I just ate like a box of animal crackers and raisins. And it was nice to have somebody to talk to. And then on the day of competition, again, full disclosure, I think that I was really worried about sitting in this room with all of these like fit women, thinking that it was going to be a little bit catty, and because it is a competition. It was the warmest group of women. I think everybody, for the most part, some had done a few of them before. Some of us was the first time. And everybody was really supportive and encouraging. And there was, in these dressing rooms, I mean, there was women in their early 20s, because we were all in kind of different categories. And then there was us that were close to 40 at the time. And then there was women older than that. And everybody was just, like, we kind of came together with this common bond of knowing what we'd all been through to get to that point. So that was beautiful. I said it was probably one of the best days of my life that day, for sure. Wow. Regardless of anything going into it and the after effects, which I will get into, but it was probably one of my best days. The moment when I was going to walk out on stage, thought I was going to be sick. I was so terrified and I was going to leave. I'm like, I did it. Me in these stupid shoes. I'm in this tiny piece of cloth with rhinestones and stuff. And I'm like, I did it. Big fake tan. You made it. You're good. And then they called my name. And I'm like, gotta go. I'm in. So, but it was amazing. And try having shaky legs and 5-inch heels. Let me tell you, that's nerves. Or, nerves and stilettos are not. They're not friends. Yeah,
that long sounds day. Amazing. So
in the morning we did. That's when they were judging everybody. And then there was an evening show. So you had a bit of a break between and you could eat some food. So, but I was loopy. I just, like, at that point, your brain isn't. So was able to get some, I had turkey, I think. And it was fascinating, fascinating. And then the evening show was just more fun and friends and family came and I had a group of girls that came and watched and cheered and we were able to go out for dinner afterwards, which was nice.
So what are you allowed or not allowed to have the day of, the day before? What's the food limitations just seconds before the competition?
Yeah, that morning, I'm my brain's a little bit foggy. Maybe I've blocked it out. But I think there's a couple of days before you're just drinking gallons and gallons and gallons and gallons of water. You're eating, I think I had flank steak and not much of it. Protein shakes, vegetables still, but it was very limited. There really wasn't much. I mean, your protein is upped for obvious reasons for much of it. And then for 2 days, you're kind of dehydrating yourself after doing all of that. You're drinking this dandelion tea, which apparently is dehydrating. You would know that more than I do. Yeah, that's why you're not working out either, because you're barely putting anything in your body. I had a makeup artist come to my house the morning of the competition. I almost passed out on her. So that's not okay. I had to, like, lay on the couch and she went and got me like a literally this much of diet root beer just to bring me back. So it was between, I think, this caloric deficit, blood sugar, and nerves. It was terrible. Again, terrible combination. But yeah, that was, you're pretty lean. I got down to 113 pounds and I was 10% body fat the day of that competition. Yeah. Or the day before, I guess. Yeah.
That's insane.
That's insane. Yeah.
Yeah. So many things are running in my head. If you could kind of like divide the effects of the food you had to take into the physiological effect you saw throughout the process and the psychological effects.
I think that, like I said, I think the first part of the menus that would come in every week, I think it's a beautiful way to eat. I'd love for you to see them and see what your thoughts were on those. But I felt great. I think there is obviously something to be said about eating portionately, this really clean food. And I think that it's this kind of obvious, yet for whatever reason, really difficult thing for most of us to do. It's not convenient, depending on your lifestyle and what you have going on. I think food prep is it's a thing. And I think it's super important, but I think it's really difficult to do. For me, I think that kind of weighed on my brain as well. And I made things a little bit harder than they needed to be because I couldn't just look at it for what it was. Like, this is what you're going to eat. This is what you need to cook. For whatever reason, I'm like, oh, this is massive and it's going to cut into all of my time. And time doing what? I don't know. Like, it was a couple of hours, you know, here or there where who knows what I would have been doing otherwise. Maybe nothing that useful with my time. But so I think, yeah, as humans, I think we can make it things a lot harder on ourselves by just thinking they're harder than they actually are. So that was tough. And then again, I thought about food all the time. Literally, I was like, I would eat something and I'm like, okay, well, do I have everything ready for the next hour and a half when I've got to eat something else? And is very consuming for me. I don't think it's that way for everybody necessarily, but yeah, it was really consuming. And I think that's also how people can get a really nasty relationship with food as well, because you just kind of throw your hands up at some point and say, it's not worth it. I could be doing better things with my time and I'm just going to go and have the white bread and the Doritos and call it a day, right? And again, there's some people just love it and they're just in it. And so it's cool. And they think about food and they like it. I didn't. I found that part a little bit stressful for sure. But it's a lot to do in a short period of time. And so I think that also affects your psyche a little bit, because it's not like you're easing into something. You have 3 months, really. It's a lot of transformation in 3 months for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you could take us through the day after. What's going on? Like looking back at things or looking at your body, all the feelings, what's happening there?
It is, and again, anybody thinks this is terrible, I apologize, but you feel pretty great about yourself at that point. Like I ended up placing second in fitness competitor and third in bikini, which is hilarious. I was like, what? No idea.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it was fantastic. You look fantastic if that's your thing. And I love muscles and the lean. I thought, I was like, I look 100% right now in my brain. It felt good. Women were so hard on ourselves anyways. So a little foreshadowing. It wasn't necessarily sustainable, but it sure felt good in the moment. So everybody was so proud and people are talking about you because they should. It is anybody that does this, people should talk about you and applaud you. I wish I'd made t-shirts with myself on them at the time. It is a huge accomplishment. And I challenge anybody that doesn't think that. However, it's this huge high and then it's over. It's over. So you're still kind of the next few days, you're kind of lingering on that. I had a stack of pancakes the next morning because I'm like, I'm done. I did it. I'm done. I'm hungry. I want pancakes. I enjoyed it. And then because you're normal and eating normally again, and I wasn't jumping into eating a lot of junk. My trainer said, eat the pancakes, do your thing. But go back to like the first couple of weeks and just kind of ease your body out, which I did. I didn't jump in and eat all the things I was eating before. We still ate pretty healthily. And then I was gaining some weight back, which you would, because you can't stay. Well, I wasn't going to stay that way. And this is kind of where you lead into the aftermath of body dysmorphia. And it happened pretty quickly. We went on vacation. So competition was during the first Saturday of Stampede. And so I think it was the end of July or beginning of August, we went out to Invermere. I brought weights with me on vacation. I was so like, I need to keep doing this. And though I still felt happy about the work I had done and the way clothes were fitting and everything else, there was this like paranoia of gaining this weight back. That's probably not good. And I remember looking at photos of that vacation, like a couple months after that, and thinking that I looked really big. Ugh, right? I know it's ridiculous, but I did. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you just done all this work and now you've gained all this weight back. And yeah, it's a slippery slope. And I, again, myself, I'm medicated for anxiety and depression. And so I think that in hindsight, it probably would have been a really good idea to have possibly supplemented all of this with a little bit of counseling while I was going through it as well. I had no idea. It's nobody's fault, but I had no idea that that was a possibility. It's pretty common for us all to have an element of that on the day-to-day of our lives. Anyways, obviously, when I started, I said I was 132 pounds and thought I was big. So no, it's ridiculous. But if you think about it, like you're in this moment and it's all based on your appearance. You've just been like paraded around and awarded for your appearance. And I didn't think about it that way in the moment. And then afterwards, it's like, well, do I want to keep at that? Or do I just want to go back to living a semi-normal existence? And I would rather do that. Yeah, I don't know. I think there could be an arm of counseling for anybody that decides to go in it, or at least some full disclosure at the beginning of saying, this is what your mindset needs to be like. And you need to realize that this is right now. This is not necessarily, like, it's not sustainable. It's not sustainable unless you're going to go and be like this professional competitor, which is cool and people do it and it's amazing. But if you're not, then something to consider for sure.
Does the organization talk about the post-competition situation? Do they provide you with tools? Are you able to go back to them maybe and say, listen, I'm struggling in this and this. Is that normal? Like, what's the post-competition support you get from them?
In all honesty, from the Federation, I don't believe, and maybe there is now, I don't think that there was anything. They put on the show, they supplied the venue and the judges and the boards and all those things, and I think they're done. And it could be wrong, but there was nothing that came to me to talk about that. I think that I internalized a lot of this. I think that I probably could have had much more conversation with my trainer. She's amazing and lovely and supportive and empathic. So I think I probably could have, but I didn't. I was just kind of in my head with all of those things because of the way that I am and how I function or don't function, I guess. In that moment. So I think that there are supports and I could have probably reached out. For me, I think it just would have been really helpful to have realized some of this in the beginning and then had some support prior to making the decision to fly into it. But I mean, that's hindsight, right?
You kind of answered that question on the way, but maybe you could elaborate on that. Would you do it again?
So funny, Shani, because I have these moments often where I'm like, I think I'm going to do this again, which is nuts. but because I don't know if it would be easier or harder because I know what it entails. I don't know. But I still might do one more. I don't know. I haven't ruled it out. And then I say that out loud. I'm like, you psycho. Like, you're actually not but it's a beautiful experiment and it is fascinating to see what your body does. And now being 47 and perimenopausal and all of these things, I'm fascinated now to see what my body would do at this stage of life and how it would affect everything. And like, you and I have talked about this before with food and hormones and balancing things, and it is not my forte at all. So I'm kind of fascinated to see how that, whatever the menu system is now, how that would tweak how I feel, specifically emotionally. I'm finding this perimenopause thing interesting with the roller coaster. It's fun.
So what would be the little nudge that would make you go for it again?
I don't know. I'm not sure what it would be. Sometimes I wonder if they're like, do you want to do it? Somebody that wanted to do it with me, maybe that would be it. I'm not sure.
I don't think I would be able to keep up with the food thing. First of all, being a vegetarian, I'm wondering what would you do to fill in for all that steaks.
I think
and
they would tell you.
Oh, for sure.
I think that there would be some, and you're not picky, so you'd be okay.
I'm picky. So like in my head, as I was listening to what you were listing as far as what you can eat, I'm like, I could never do it. I would probably cause a bit of, murder around the house because I wouldn't be able to eat more eggs and another protein shake.
Right.
What I'm trying to say is that I'm extremely proud of your accomplishment. I think it is really difficult. I don't think a lot of people can do that. And the few of you that does, hats off to this massive psychological, physiological, and mental challenge. It is amazing.
Thank you. And I hats off to anybody that has done it and anybody that's considering it, because considering it alone is a feat in and of itself. So I think that if it's been a really big goal of yours, I think you should just do it. I think that get a really good trainer. I cannot emphasize that enough. Get somebody who has done them, interview a few that your kind of values, beliefs, and views are in alignment on this, and somebody that's going to be there for you and compliment you. I can't say enough nice things about the woman that I had. That's important. And then just have the conversations about the expectations of yourself after. Have those conversations with the trainer. Talk about body dysmorphia. Get some, if you need a counselor, maybe you talk to somebody about that. If you struggle at all with that already, maybe it's not the best decision. I'm not qualified to say that, but definitely something for you to talk to somebody about before you jump into this, because it's a thing. But I think if it is a goal, I think you should absolutely explore going for it, because it's doable.
What a beautiful message. Would you be able to describe if this experience of the fitness competition had changed the way you eat now or perceive your body or food or healthy choices?
Yeah, I think for a long time after that, I kind of went off the rails food and managed to acquire a bit of a wine issue, gained a bunch of weight, was pretty miserable. My blood pressure had gone up. It wasn't good. So coming back full circle, you and I had a conversation when you started the company and just talking a lot about like little things that you can do, little changes you can make and things to pay attention to that were easy, which is what I need. So I think your voice has been in my head over a lot of this to make these little changes and make sure to increase the water and do the clean up a couple of meals and you don't have to change your entire existence. And so I think that, again, my long story short is that if you can have access to somebody like yourself with the knowledge that you have, if anybody is struggling with their relationship with food or trying to figure out what to do, I think it's super beneficial to talk to somebody that knows what they're doing and can help you make tiny, easy changes that you can integrate daily. So thank you for that.
Thank you for saying that. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
What a nice way to wrap things up.
Yes.
Stacey, thank you so much for sharing your story and your experience and your personal thoughts and input. I feel that there's not a lot of knowledge out there in regards to that type of competition, unless you know someone. So I think your input is extremely valuable and I really appreciate that. And thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Shani. It was awesome. I appreciate it.
After listening to Stacey, I see many touching points between a fitness competition and a weight loss program. Due to such similarities, and because this podcast is about realistic, healthy living, I thought I would share some pointers that you can most likely use the term fitness competition and fat loss program interchangeably in my following comments. The first thing I would do is ask myself all the right questions before considering going on a fat loss program. The first question I would start with is why? Why do you want to do that? See if the answer is a good one that will take you through the tough times, keep you going, and not allow you to steer away when things get very rough. And they will. Without a good reason or a goal, it would be very challenging to keep consistent and stick to the plan. Other questions to ask would be, how many pounds am I planning to lose overall? And is that a good goal for me? Will I need support through this process? Will the support be available to me, whether it's financial, mental, etc.? The next thing I would do would be to check with your doctor and learn what is your starting point. Are you in good overall health to take on such a task? Maybe there are some challenges, deficiencies, or anything else that should be dealt with before demanding such a task from your body. Next, as Stacey had mentioned about a fitness competition, and I couldn't stress that enough, please do your due diligence and choose the right coach. Although it is possible to lose fat without guidance from a coach, being in this profession, I hear
daily from my clients how they wish they knew what I taught them, or how they had no idea about this or the other, or how much I contributed to their process, and even how it would have changed things for them should they have known what they know today. Coaches are there to teach you things that you may not know, help you when things get tough, guide you when you need, and support you in different ways throughout the process. Now, contrary to a fitness competition, which has a very defined start and an end date, as well as a very engulfing process that makes you focus primarily on that, I believe that a fat loss process should be more gradual, with a more tailored approach. A fitness competition, I feel, is more of a plan that individuals need to fit into, while fat loss should be the other way around. The program should fit the individual. I truly believe, and that is my approach as a nutrition professional, that a good fat loss program should address all the aspects of the person: history, preferences, likes and dislikes, lifestyle choices, past and current health conditions, medications taken, diseases, and much more. My final message in this episode is that I believe anyone can do really difficult, challenging things. So whether it is a fitness competition, a weight loss program, or any other challenging goals, I would encourage you to check your readiness levels physically and mentally before going into it. You see, starting something difficult from a low point can be great for some people, as they discover they are built for challenges, and these will actually energize them and teach them how to improve many aspects of their lives as they go through that challenge. But for some people, and I personally feel that it's the majority, it may cause additional distress that can create major setbacks. Having said that, it is sometimes difficult to know whether you are ready or not until you try. At the end of the day, what works for you works for you.
I hope this episode provided you with some value. If so, your support will really help me. Here are two simple ways to do so. The ideal and easiest way would be to click the follow sign. And if you're willing, please share my podcast with anyone you think could benefit from it. Thank you for joining me today, and I'll see you in the next episode.